May it please the court. Mr. Edwards. This discipline case began in bankruptcy court for the Eastern District of Missouri as an attempt by respondent's client, Latoya Stewart, to recover a $495 attorney's fee that she had paid to the respondent. Respondent apparently operated and was doing business as Critique Services. Ms. Stewart alleged that the respondent committed a variety of acts and omissions in handling her bankruptcy case. Ms. Stewart's simple motion to disgorge culminated in a 102-page order in June of 2014 entered by bankruptcy judge Charles Renlon, in which the judge granted the motion to disgorge, imposed monetary sanctions against the respondent in the amount of $30,000, imposed additional sanctions in the form of attorney's fees against respondent in the amount of $19,720, and suspended respondent from the practice of law before the bankruptcy court for 1 year. In issuing that ruling, the bankruptcy court found numerous violations of this court's rules of professional conduct. One must ask how a case with such simple beginnings morphed into a year-long legal morass with sanctions and suspensions. How does that happen? At its core, this discipline case is not about the disgorgement of a $495 fee. It's all about the extreme and unethical lengths to which this respondent went to conceal his relationship with a fraudulent and corrupt entity known as Critique Services. As the bankruptcy court noted, Mr. Robinson runs a business that is a low-rent petition preparation mill masquerading as a law practice, where non-attorneys solicit false information, the attorney provides no real legal representation, and money is made off the exploitation of the vulnerable. Throughout this detailed order in June 2014, the bankruptcy court found numerous violations of the rules of professional conduct. With regard to Ms. Stewart and the representation of her in the bankruptcy court, the court found violations of 4-1.1 competence, 4-1.3 diligence, 4-1.4 communication, 4-1.5 and fees, and 4-1.16D improper withdrawal. With regard to those last two violations, the fees and the withdrawal, it's interesting to note that when Ms. Stewart terminated the attorney-client relationship and asked for her file back from this respondent, she was told that she would be, in order for her to get her file back, she would owe a $100 office fee as well as a $5 per page cost for copying the client file. In addition, the court found violations of the duties that this respondent owed to the legal system, the court, and opposing counsel. The court found violations of 4-3.1 in that the respondent filed frivolous motions to quash discovery. 4-3.2, failing to expedite litigation by filing additional motions after the court had already issued an order compelling discovery. 4-3.3, knowingly making a false statement to the court regarding the intent to comply with discovery. 4-3.4, failing to make a diligent effort to comply with a proper discovery request. 4-3.5, conduct intended to disrupt the tribunal, and 4-8.2, falsely making allegations against the integrity of the judge. On this basis, the court issued its order finding these violations, describing the conduct that violated these rules, and issuing its order imposing sanctions and discipline against the respondent by suspending him from the practice in bankruptcy court for 1 year. The issue before this court is whether the respondent and his counsel are subject to reciprocal discipline pursuant to Rule 5.20. The answer has to be in the affirmative, given the procedural posture of the case and the specific findings and conclusions duly made by the bankruptcy court in the June 2014 order. Reciprocal discipline under 5.20 is available whenever a lawyer admitted to practice in Missouri has been adjudged guilty of professional misconduct in another jurisdiction. That is precisely what has happened in this case. The bankruptcy court for the Eastern District of Missouri is another jurisdiction that had the authority and, in this case, justifiable cause to suspend the respondent from practicing before it.
The local. Do we have the bankruptcy order properly before the court?
Absolutely, Judge. I think, first of all, the order itself was attached to the motion for reciprocal discipline and was taken off of CaseNet, It was raised as an issue by the respondent in his brief. We followed up when we filed our reply brief by filing a certified copy.
Filed it in an appendix, which normally documents in an appendix are not properly filed. They have to be properly filed, and then a copy of them in the appendix is an aid in determining what the record is. So the only place it's been filed, and the other issue is normally just regular certification is not sufficient for a judgment from a foreign jurisdiction. It's got to have the special certification. I wish I could think of what authentication, where you have the judge is the judge, the clerk is the clerk, and this is just a regular certification.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think that the document came into the record through the information for 5.20 reciprocal discipline, so that's how it was put before the court. I understand what you're saying. Respondent filed a motion on that issue, and I believe the court denied that motion last week in terms of the fact that it was not filed under authenticated or certified copy.
I think that issue is still before the court.
Okay. It was my understanding that it had been overruled.
It was asking us to strike your brief, what I thought.
Okay. Well, in our view, we attempted to remedy the situation by filing the certified copy of the pleading. There's been no allegation that there's anything in that order of June 2014 that in the copy that we filed that is any way inaccurate or not a correct copy.
I know this is an original proceeding, and so it's before us, and so we make the determination of the exhibits. But I think normally the requirement, the question is, should the Office of Chief Disciplinary Counsel have any different requirements in bringing to the court authenticated documents and presenting them to the court in the proper way?
Sure, and to the extent that we have not done that, certainly, to the extent the court would grant leave, we certainly can do that, easily get an authenticated and certified copy from the bankruptcy court and file it with the court after argument today. As I said, I don't think that you'll find anything different in that order than you would in any of the other copies of that order that are before the court at this time.
I was going to say, we might want to see that request in writing. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge. The local rule governing the bankruptcy court for the Eastern District provide a valid basis for this court's suspension in the case. The local rules provide that any attorney practicing before the bankruptcy court is governed by the rules of professional conduct adopted by this court. It authorizes the bankruptcy court to initiate its own attorney discipline proceedings regardless of whether the attorney has been disciplined by another court. And finally, the local bankruptcy rules in the Eastern District that were adopted by adopt the district court's rules of disciplinary enforcement and give the bankruptcy court the authority to disbar or otherwise discipline attorneys that appear before it. In this case, the respondent appealed the bankruptcy judge's ruling to the district court and ultimately to the Court of Appeals. It's significant that both those courts affirmed the bankruptcy court's authority and discipline in this case. Specifically, the Eighth Circuit found that suspension was proper, quote, suspension was proper under the bankruptcy court's inherent authority to discipline attorneys appearing before it and pursuant to the local rules authorizing exercise of that authority. Respondent in his brief raises an issue and cites this court to its decision in the Coe case. I would also throw into that discussion Karen Cheney, that the court decided in 1997, Coe in 1996. And I think what those two cases do is only support us being before you today on 5.20 reciprocal discipline. Coe and Carancini were brought by the Office of Chief Disciplinary Counsel as Rule 5.11 disciplinary informations. We did not seek reciprocal discipline. And that's because in those cases, the federal courts in Coe and Carancini did not issue discipline. They issued sanction orders against the attorneys. And so I think what has to be distinguished in this case is the authority to sanction an attorney versus its authority to discipline an attorney. Coe and Carancini clearly stand for the proposition, along with other cases where we've sought reciprocal discipline, that if that bankruptcy court issues an order disciplining the attorney, we can file a 5.20 request or information for a reciprocal discipline. In Cohen-Carancini, put another way, there was no discipline imposed on which the informant could have sought reciprocal discipline. That is not the case with regard to this matter, where the bankruptcy court made numerous findings of unethical conduct on the part of this respondent. I should also point out, as the respondent points out, well, there's this referral to the district court. The bankruptcy court, at the end of its order, says, I'm going to refer and order a copy of this order be sent to the district court for possible action and to the OCDC. That's what started the case with us. And we are now before you seeking discipline. The referral to the district court was simply, in my view, and clearly from a fair reading of that order, simply for the district court to consider whether additional discipline should be imposed on the respondent that would have barred the respondent from practicing in district court. As it stands right now, the respondent is suspended from bankruptcy court, is not suspended from practicing in district court. The district court held in abeyance its order of discipline pending the decision by this court. So the point that it was referred to the district court to me is meaningless in terms of why we're here today. The important point is that this case was appealed to the district court and in 2015 affirmed, and then appealed to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals and affirmed in 2016. The appropriate discipline in the case, in our view, is a one-year, is an indefinite suspension with no leave to apply for reinstatement for 1 year. Standing alone, the representation of Ms. Stewart would warrant that type of suspension. This court suspended Dean Merriweather, another attorney associated with Critique Services, for a year in March of 2016, Supreme Court case number 95448, for the very same type of violations, competence, diligence, communication, fees, assisting in the unauthorized practice of law. We consider the mere representation and the lack of representation of Ms. Stewart to suffice to warrant a one-year suspension, putting aside all the discovery violations that occurred. Thank you. I will reserve my time for rebuttal.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen of the court, in spirit, I think that my classmate and seatmate in criminal law is still spiritually with us, Judge Teitelman.
Rickard.
He was a little fellow then, 165 pounds. Well, I think that counsel has position is the bankruptcy court judge is your boss. He's the man that you say yes sir and no sir to. He's the only one that gives notice in due process of law under Rule 520 that allows a lawyer, an advocate, to be superseded by the commissioner of the court. It's real interesting that over $495 that Mr. Robinson ends up paying $30,000, ends up paying all of these costs and fees.
Do you agree that those rulings have been affirmed on appeal?
No. I just believe that the sanctions were approved. You got to remember that the bankruptcy commissioner, well, he's a bankruptcy judge now. The bankruptcy judge, you file your issue of sanctions. They have exclusive jurisdiction over their sanctions in their court. And they're protected in their court. And if the district court wanted to demur and say, let me see what the Missouri Supreme Court says, maybe your due process rights are important to that district judge. You don't know. It's speculation. Because the man does not stand disciplined in the district court. He can still practice law in the district court. He can still practice law in the Court of Appeals in the Missouri Supreme Court. And if we had a record, we get a chance to review the record. Maybe somebody makes a mistake when he files 10,000 cases and something goes awry. But it doesn't mean that a sanction rises to the level of professional misconduct. Let's look at what counsel has said by his very own words. He says, the cold case, he's the one that brought it up. What happened in that cold case? The Missouri Supreme Court held that the matter was not conclusive under Rule 520, an advisory hearing was held to trigger a proceeding under 519. The court noted that it could not give full faith and credit to the findings of fact and conclusions of law of the U.S. District Court judge. You didn't find findings of fact and conclusions of law with a United States District Court judge, much less one that is not approved by Congress and a judge that is not approved by Congress.
Excuse me, are you saying this court should never impose reciprocal discipline, or just in this case it's inappropriate?
I can only say in this case, because my client has not received due process of law in this case under your own rules, under 520. And I'm saying that it is a matter of fact and of law as to whether or not a sanction is discipline, whether or not a bankruptcy judge takes it away from you. This bankruptcy judge was not a sister jurisdiction. We're arguing that it would have been the district court to review, and they didn't. Why? They didn't because the sanction didn't rise to the level.
Would your position be the same if it was any other type of federal specialty court, patent court, military court, veterans court? You're saying that we shouldn't consider any of those specialty courts?
I can only argue this case because I know that I've been here long enough that there's always some sort of exception to a rule. I can only argue vigorously for my client that in the Cole case, these people were charged of contempt of court four times and ordered the lawyer into custody. This man hasn't been found in contempt of court. In the Cole case, no matter what the written order says, unlike the Cole case, he wasn't even found in contempt of court. It was a sanction, and today he could reapply. Counsel is saying, for 18 months he shouldn't even be able to reapply. Does the Missouri court go be well and beyond when there's a question mark with regard to what a federal U.S. judge would do? I think not. I think that the court should.
He's not asking for discipline based on whether or not he's prohibited from practicing in federal district court. They're basing it on the bankruptcy court, and that was affirmed. So
the sanction was affirmed, but we're saying that it, as a matter of law, it was not the final word on discipline. We're saying that the sanction was not a holding of contempt of court, that sanctions in the bankruptcy court. Now remember, sanctions in the bankruptcy court apply to bankruptcy practitioners that are not even attorneys. You can file papers and all sorts of documents, just like the IRS, as a bankruptcy practitioner. That it's a different forum. And I believe that the counsel has a duty, just like other lawyers, to make the record straight for due process of law and notice. We don't consent that any documents not filed appropriately should be considered by this court. He's got a second bite at the apple. Unless you dismiss it as failing to submit a justiciable claim. So I also refer you to Chrysler Corporation versus Carey. They say in that case, defendants repeatedly lied to the court, making unfounded challenges to discovery.
Counsel, we have an Eighth Circuit decision finding that the bankruptcy court found these violations and imposed these sanctions and affirming them. Does that not substitute for a certified copy of the bankruptcy court's order?
I do not believe so.
Why not?
I believe that they have to obey in this court, they have to obey this court's rules. And I believe that if the if the finding of a court of appeals, how does a advocate say that it is not considered double jeopardy when two entities prosecute you because you get a hearing, if it was a criminal case, you get a hearing in each forum. In this forum, he may bring up different issues in a when he has knowledge that he is being disciplined. I don't believe that my client, Mr. Robinson, understood that the sanctions amounted to professional misconduct. I don't believe that that was perfectly clear.
Is your position, I don't think it is, but is it your position that we just can never do reciprocal discipline?
I think they
could have started at the beginning and initiated these proceedings other than reciprocal discipline.
I believe
which
that
might
we
result in more, less, or the same discipline.
I believe that this is a case of first impression. I can't find any case where a bankruptcy court commissioner took the jurisdiction of the Missouri Supreme Court out of the running by only a bankruptcy sanction, no matter what the sanctions were. It could very well be that a judicial officer in this court doesn't find all Ms. Stewart's claims credible. It could be that another judicial proceeding, other than the rules of bankruptcy court, discover other items. Why would my client ask for the judge to be removed for bias? I guess, you know, there's no remedy if a judge is biased in federal court. Is there? Is there ever a remedy? I believe that this action about false motions is because the individual said, I believe as a matter of law you're biased, because the judge was a previous prosecutor. He may have had way more knowledge of this Critique LLC than my client did, because he'd been dealing with this for years.
Mr. Robinson, I noticed that, I'm sorry, Mr. Edwards, Mr. Robinson filed the brief in this case. Mr. Robinson filed the motion to dismiss in this case. Have you filed any papers on behalf of him in this case?
I'm here to argue orally, no.
Would you file an entry of appearance?
I did file an entry of appearance.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. I filed an entry of appearance.
All right, thank you.
I appreciate that, Judge. And I'm glad that the court asked me those questions, because that type of technicality about whether or not I filed an entry of appearance is exactly the type of technicality we could raise in a 519 proceeding that we can't raise in 520. So the respondent argues for himself over a matter of discipline. He alleges that the judge is biased, and lo and behold, surprise, he has no remedy. But maybe in the court system, under 519, he has a second bite at the apple over the credibility of the charges. Now, I'd also like to remind the court that where our position is that the bankruptcy court alone is not a separate jurisdiction. We believe that the district court did not go along. We do not believe that they took the jurisdiction from this court with regard to misconduct. I also have cited the Briggs case. And in the Briggs case, there was a suborning of perjury in that case. Bogus case, not Briggs, but Bogus. They alleged criminal acts in that case. And they didn't receive any 18-month suspension and not being able to apply with regard to the recommended discipline.
Is that case cited in the brief?
Yes, it is, Your Honor. I think counsel cited it. I'm not sure if he did. Bogus is the Missouri Supreme Court. SC 95332 decided in 2016. We believe that it's directly on point. Budgets was not simply sanctioned by a bankruptcy judge, which was sanctioned or sustained both in the U.S. Court of Appeals and the U.S. And the District Court, but a formally disciplined action for professional misconduct was initiated against Bridges in the U.S. District Court, which had licensed him to practice before the U.S. bankruptcy judge. The three-judge panel in that case heard the matter, found Bridges guilty of professional misconduct, and issued a public censure against Bridges for professional misconduct. The Missouri Supreme Court found that disciplinary adjudication of Bridges by the district court to the sufficient, substantial, and conclusive grounds for reciprocal discipline under Rule 520 of Bridges by the Supreme Court, and accordingly similarly disciplined by Bridges as well, without the necessity of a full-blown evidentiary hearing under Rule 519. The adjudication by the sister jurisdiction, the U.S. District Court in Bank, the finding of guilt and the issuing of discipline by the sister jurisdiction, the U.S. District Court in Bank, was conclusive on the question of professional misconduct before the Missouri Supreme Court. We believe that that case is distinguished. Bridges, with reciprocity disciplined by the Missouri Supreme Court under 520 for having been adjudicated guilty of professional misconduct and disciplined by a sister jurisdiction, the U.S. District Court for professional misconduct. And we're saying that the U.S. District, Eastern District, didn't do that in this case. And we're saying that the issues in the Stewart case over the sanctions were not the same as discipline by a U.S. District Court. We also have the Karanchi case, 956 Southwest 910, 913, the Missouri Supreme Court in Bank. There was a sanction by the U.S. District Court, not a subordinate bankruptcy judge, during an adversarial proceeding in which the respondent was the attorney for one of the parties. An action was brought by the OCDC to discipline him for professional misconduct based on the judgment and order of sanctions by the U.S. District Court judge. The Honorable Supreme Court specifically held it could not, under Rule 520, reciprocally base a discipline upon any factual findings of the U.S. District Court when the District Court issued sanctions against Carancini. Instead, this Honorable Supreme Court held that it must proceed under 519 and that a full-blown evidentiary hearing must be held by a disciplinary hearing panel before this court could independently make its own findings of fact and conclusions of law in order to determine whether or not discipline was warranted against Carancini.
Your time is up.
Thank you very much.
Allow me to go in reverse order. Bridges is absolutely consistent with our position today. And again, you have to distinguish between an order issuing sanctions versus an order issuing discipline. And in Bridges, the bankruptcy court issued sanctions. It was appealed up to the district court, up to the court, Eighth Circuit, came back to the district court for the issuance of discipline. That's on which the order on which we filed the reciprocal discipline under 5.20. It's absolutely consistent with our position today. So is Coe, so is Carancini, so are the Carey and Donnie cases. All three of those cases involve situations where the federal courts issued sanctions against the attorneys and not ethical violations and discipline. And so in those cases, we appropriately filed information under 5.11, not under 5.20. In those cases where we have a jurisdiction issuing an order of discipline, we file 5.20 informations, and this court has upheld that. Most recently, as I cited in my earlier argument, the Meriwether case, growing out of the same fraudulent enterprise, Critique Services. Mr. Meriwether was suspended for a year simply based on the bankruptcy court's order. And as we've said, the district court as well as the Eighth Circuit affirmed that. Respondent attacks Judge Rendlin's that he's biased. They sought to recuse him by alleging bias. They filed a lawsuit against him in state court alleging bias, that he prosecuted Critique Services. Judge Renlund absolutely addresses that in his order, and basically, based on the fact he was the U.S. trustee for 3 years but never engaged in any active prosecution, they make the leap that he has bias against these respondents and should be disqualified. Absolutely addressed by Judge Renlund and denied. They, in an offensive manner, referred to the bankruptcy court as a equivalent of a state court commissioner. The bankruptcy court is an authorized federal court pursuant to Article 1 of the United States Constitution. Article 3 courts, which encompass the district court and court of appeals, refer to jurisdiction over bankruptcy matters to the bankruptcy courts. Title 11 provides that jurisdiction over bankruptcy courts lies with the bankruptcy court and that that court may enter final judgments. It's clear that this bankruptcy court is another jurisdiction. It's not the licensing jurisdiction, but it doesn't have to be. They argue it has to be the licensing jurisdiction, the district court that issues the discipline. That is not in 5.20. 5.20 simply says there has to be a finding of misconduct by another jurisdiction. That is clearly proper here. Lastly, if I can have 10 more seconds, due process. Both the district court and the Eighth Circuit found that this respondent was given full due process. Status conferences, orders, all manner of due process before this court issued its ethical order finding ethical violations in the case.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Case will be submitted.